Well, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me to two places tonight, Deuteronomy chapter 11 and then Deuteronomy chapter 27. The title of the message tonight is a question, Mount Ebal or Mount Gerizim? And I'll explain that as we go on tonight. We have a church-wide Bible reading plan. It's called Worth in the Word. We print the passages in the bulletin each week so you can read God's Word along with our church family. Occasionally, I will take a passage that we are studying through in our personal Bible study, and I will teach on it. I do that primarily to reinforce two truths. Number one, the importance of daily Bible reading. Now, you would expect to come to church and for the pastor to tell you to read the Bible. Let me tell you, Bible reading is the mother of all spiritual disciplines. Every study on the subject has shown that when you read your Bible more, you'll pray more. You'll witness more, you'll serve more, you'll give more. It's the mother of all spiritual disciplines, and every growing Christian should read God's Word every day. Amen. And I want to reinforce that, and by teaching through these passages that we're reading through, I hope that it'll help you and encourage you and give you a little bit more passion to dig deep on those particular passages. I also do it to reinforce the sufficiency of all Scripture. The truth of the matter is that Deuteronomy is just as inspired as Luke. Just as inspired as Ephesians or passages that we think are a little easier to read and study. I think sometimes we come to a book like Deuteronomy and we struggle to see the relevance of it for our daily lives. But with just a little bit of elbow grease and a little bit of prayer, you will uncover truths that will transform your life. A little spirit-filled work in the Bible will richly reward you. I'm convinced of this. The context of Deuteronomy is that a new generation stands at the border of the promised land. Their fathers and mothers had died in the wilderness because of their disobedience. Now a new group is presented with the same choice. They could doubt and disbelieve and experience God's curse, or they could believe God and obey Him and experience all the blessings that God had for them in the promised land. The great man Moses could not lead them in. Because of his own doubt and disobedience, he struck the rock instead of spoke to it. And God had told him, you will not enter into the promised land. So before he dies, he gathers this great group and he gives them a sermon, the book of Deuteronomy. Deut, meaning second, like deuce. Namas, the Greek word for law, it is the second law. The second giving of the law for the second generation. Now look at Deuteronomy 11, verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. And it shall come to pass when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land, whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim, and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side Jordan, by the way where the sun goeth down in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the champaign over against Gilgal, beside the plains of Moreh? For ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess it, to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein. And ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. Now again, kind of an obscure passage of Scripture. God is telling the people there is a path of blessing and there is a path of cursing or judgment. You get to choose your path. You get to choose whether you relate to me in a way that will lead to your blessing or whether you relate to me in a way that will lead to your cursing. He said, when you come into the promised land, you're going to see two mountains. You've never seen them before. By the way, Moses had not seen them before either. God revealed this to him. One of these mountains is called Ebal. The other mountain is called Gerizim. In the middle of these mountains, there's a beautiful valley called Shechem. Abraham built an altar at Shechem when he first came into the land. It was a place of worship. Now, to the north was Mount Ebal. Mount Ebal was a rocky, foreboding mountain. To the south was Mount Gerizim. And Gerizim was a fruitful, lush, green mountain. And God says when you go into the promised land, you're going to put a curse on one mountain and a blessing on another mountain. Now, if you were reading along in your Bible reading plan, we came across this a couple of weeks ago. And you may have thought, what in the world is all of this about? A blessing on one mountain and a cursing on another mountain? Let me ask you, how many of you have a study Bible? Or at least a Bible that has some cross-references in the margin of your Bible. Anybody have that? All right. There are probably a few cross-references in the margin of your Bible. Deuteronomy 27:12 is probably there. Deuteronomy 30, maybe verses 1, 15, and 19. Joshua 8 is probably one of the cross-references in your Bible. Every once in a while, someone will come up to me after church and they'll say, Pastor Gillett, you bring things out of the Bible that I've never seen before. Let me give you my secret. It's not complicated. Follow the cross-references. It really is that easy. There's nothing I'm going to bring out of the study tonight that you couldn't find if you just followed those cross-references given to you in the margins of your study Bible. Bible study is hard, but not complicated. It's hard because it requires effort, but it's not complicated. Any spirit-filled Christian can do it. I'm convinced of that. Now turn to Deuteronomy 27, if you will. This is one of the cross-references. You'll be reading this during your upcoming week if you're reading along with us. Look at Deuteronomy 27, verse 1. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. Thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be, when ye shall have gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones which I command thee this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. Thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt offer peace offerings and shalt eat there and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. He says, when you come into the promised land, you're going to build an altar between these two mountains. You have Shechem that's right in the middle of Ebal and Gerizim, and you're going to build an altar there. Take a group of stones and mound them up and put plaster over them and write the law on those stones. Now, either they were huge stones with a lot of plaster and they wrote out all of the law, or they took a representation of the law, perhaps the Ten Commandments, and they wrote them on those stones. He says, don't lift up any iron tool upon this altar. This is not a place of human work. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of grace. Not of human effort, of grace. And he goes on to tell them that when they got there, after they built the altar, half of the tribes of Israel would go up to Mount Ebal, and they would represent the cursings of the law. The other half would go up to Mount Gerizim, and they would represent the blessings of the law. And the priest and Joshua would stand in the valley. Joshua would read the blessings of the law, and the group that was on Mount Gerizim would say, amen. Then he would read the cursings of the law, and the group that was out Mount Ebal would say, amen. The blessings were what they could expect in the land if they obeyed God. The cursings were what they could expect if they disobeyed God. Now, I want you to look. We're going to visualize this, and here's how I want to do it. This group over here, to my right and your left, you're going to be Mount Ebal, the Mount of Cursing. When I read the curses here in just a moment, you're going to answer and say, amen. This group over here on the south side, you Southsiders, okay? You're going to be Mount Gerizim, and you're going to be the blessing side. And when we read the blessings of the law, you're going to answer by saying, amen. All right, look at Deuteronomy 27, verse 15. We're going to start with the curses. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say,
amen.
All right. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, And all the people shall say,
Amen.
Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say,
Amen.
Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. And all the people shall say,
Amen.
And it goes on through the rest of chapter 27 like this. Now we're going to get to the blessings. Look at verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks and of the sheep. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Amen. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. What is all this shouting about? Can you even imagine it? You have millions of people, some on one mountain, some on the other, shouting across the valley, blessings and cursings, and amen. What's it all about? Well, look at Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 1. He's going to explain it. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God and obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thy heart and with all thy soul. He said, these things are going to come upon you. You're going to live in the fulfillment of both these blessings and these curses, and you're to call some things to mind. Look at verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. Moses says, we're establishing all of this so that you'll have God's word near you, that it'll be on the tip of your tongue, that you'll know and understand exactly what God wants you to do so you can do it. The old Puritans used to call this doctrine the perspicuity of Scripture. It's basically a complicated word that means the word of God is not complicated. That any spirit-filled Christian can understand God's word. It's not up in heaven that we have to have someone bring it down to us. It's not across the sea that we have to take this long journey so we can know what God has said. No, he's made it very plain and very clear. And he was doing that for the people on Gerizim and Ebal. Now look at verse 16. Now look at verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and that the Lord thy God should bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. Ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Do you see the point? You get to choose which mountain you're on, the mount of blessing or the mount of curse. You can have God's judgment if you want. You can have God's blessing if you want. Every person gets to choose. But by the way, don't think God is indifferent to your choice. He wants you to choose life. He wants you to choose blessing. He wants to give you his best. So he says, choose life that you might live. Now the fulfillment of all of this happens in Joshua chapter 8. So turn there with me if you will. The people come across the river. They beat Jericho. Then in chapter 7, they have that terrible, terrible incident at Ai. Achan takes the accursed thing, and Joshua goes to battle without consulting the Lord, and they get soundly beaten. They did not take God's word seriously. They did not obey the Lord, and they experienced judgment. In chapter 8, Joshua makes things right, and he goes before the Lord, and God gives them a strategy, and then they soundly beat the people of Ai. And they again start to live in the blessing of obeying the Lord. In their conquest, marching through the promised land, they finally come to Shechem, that place that Moses had told them about in Deuteronomy. They see Mount Ebal. They see Mount Gerizim. Look at Joshua chapter 8 and verse 30. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel. Notice this, in Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lift up from any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side the ark, and on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. So I want you to use your imagination. Place yourself with Joshua there in the valley of Shechem. Hear the deafening roar of millions of people shouting across a valley at one another. This is an unforgettable scene in Scripture. And no one who ever experienced it ever forgot it. What was God teaching on Ebal and Gerizim? Very quickly, three truths. And like Dr. Barber often says, the introduction is longer than the message, all right? There are three components to this ceremony: the mountains, the altar, and the valley. On the mountains, we learn that God's character is declared. What were the two mountains? Mount Ebal, which represented cursing, and Gerizim, which represented blessing. On Mount Ebal, he was teaching his people some things about his character. He wants them to know that he is a holy God, that he punishes the wicked, that justice and holiness, not just love and mercy, are part of his character. On Mount Ebal, they learned about God's demands. If you study Deuteronomy 27 very carefully, and we even read part of it, all of God's demands that they read before the people that day basically boiled down to two things. Number one, be in a right relationship with God. Love him and don't build any idols. Stay right with God. Number two, be in a right relationship with people. Don't take your parents lightly. Don't make the blind man wander out of the way. Don't move somebody else's landmark. You treat people rightly. Centuries later, a lawyer would come to the Lord Jesus and say, "What's the great commandment of the law? There's 613 of them." And he would say, "It's very simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands hang all the law and the prophets." Going all the way back to Deuteronomy, this has always been God's demand of his people. Love him with all your heart. And love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. We also learn about God's dominion. He said back in 27:15, don't put an idol in the secret place. In verse 24, he said, cursed be the man who smiteth his neighbor secretly. In other words, God is not just looking for an outward form of obedience. His dominion extends even to the secret places of our lives. He's looking for a whole new kind of obedience, one that starts in our hearts because we truly love him. The mountain shows us God's decree. If you won't keep all the words of this law, you will be cursed. James comments on that, I believe, when he said, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend him, one point he is guilty of all. Think about that. To break one law is to break them all. And God says, if you break one of these laws, you will be under my judgment, under my curse. At Mount Ebal, they learned that God was holy and just, a lawmaker and a lawkeeper. And if they broke the law, they'd experience judgment. But thank God there was another message coming to the people that day. And that was the message of Mount Gerizim, the message of blessing. And if Ebal showed God's demands and God's dominions and God's decree, Gerizim shows God's desire. What is God's desire? To extravagantly bless his people. That's what God wants. Do you understand that? That God doesn't want to curse. God doesn't want to judge. God doesn't want to cast out. That's his strange work. No, what God wants to do, what God longs to do, is to bless his people. He says, if you'll obey, these blessings will overtake you. They'll outrun you. I'll bless you in the field and in the city. I'll bless you at work and at home. You'll be blessed when you go out and blessed when you come back in. My blessing will be all around you. Yes, he's a God who punishes the wicked. He's a God who would much rather bless the righteous. He said in Ezekiel 18, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, that I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And the psalmist said, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. God's desire is to extravagantly bless his people, but note this, for the sake of all people. He said, I'm going to set you up above all the people of the earth. We read that. Then he says in verse 10, all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. God does want to bless his people. But listen, not just for our sake. God wants to extravagantly bless his people for the sake of all people. Christian, you want to know why God wants to bless you? Because there are some people in your neighborhood that don't know Jesus. And if God blessed you and they saw his goodness in your life, they might come to know Jesus. You want to know why I believe God has blessed the United States of America like he's blessed us? Because 100 years ago, there was a great group of Christian young people who decided they would set out to the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God blessed a few people in one place for the sake of many people in all places. God does want to bless his children, but not just so we can have fat 401k and drive around Cadillacs. You understand that, right? He wants to extravagantly bless his people for the sake of all people so they might know how good our God is. Amen. And that's why we're here. To be honest, I'm not entirely comforted with what the mountains declare about the character of God. Why? Because if it's true that I have to perfectly obey the Lord my God, I will never know God's blessing. And I will live under God's curse. But thank God, the mountains were not all there was to this ceremony. Besides a mountain, there was an altar. The mountain was where God's character was declared. But the altar was where God's demands were met. Before you go up those mountains, you make sure first you build an altar. It was a simple stone altar. And on that altar, they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings. Joshua 8, we read it, said that the altar was built on Mount Ebal. And remind me, which mountain was that? That was the mountain of curse. Do you see the significance of this? I hope these things are turning in your mind. You can see this as you read the scriptures. Why would God have them build the altar on Mount Ebal, the mount of curse? Because only the blood of a sacrifice could bring blessing to people who are under the curse of the law. Something innocent would have to die for something guilty. So people who rightfully deserved God's curse could instead experience God's blessing. I like what one author said. The pile of stones on Mount Ebal was not gathered to be thrown in judgment at sinners, but for an altar on which was to be offered a sacrifice for sinners. On that mountain, as they heard about the law they knew they couldn't keep and recited their own curse, they also saw an altar where a sacrifice could be made so they wouldn't have to live on Mount Ebal, but they could live on Mount Gerizim. Do you see what this is? In a strange kind of ceremony that we haven't heard much about, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ in living color, in high definition. Paul wrote about it in Galatians 3. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Ladies and gentlemen, this is good news on a Sunday night. On the cross, Jesus took the curse that we had earned, the curse that we deserved. On the cross, Jesus took the curse that we deserve so we could have the blessing that he deserved. You understand, he's the only man who ever deserved to stand on Mount Gerizim and say amen. The only man who deserved God's curse. But in love for me, he went to Mount Ebal. In love for me, he went to Mount Calvary. And when God read the curses that I rightfully deserved, he answered, amen. And he did it for every man, woman, boy, and girl who's ever lived. He shed his blood and took our curse so we could have God's blessing. If I could say it this way, Jesus went to Ebal so you could go to Gerizim. And for those who are in Christ and joined to him, listen to what Paul said. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Get this, Jesus didn't just take some of the curse, he took all of the curse. He took all the condemnation so that you and I could have all the blessing. We'll get some of those blessings here, but we'll get most of those blessings in heaven. Because of Jesus, we can know God as a God of pardon and blessing and goodness and grace rather than as a God of mercy and condemnation and cursing. And all God's people ought to say, amen. And that brings us to the last place, the valley. And in the valley, a decision must be made. I'm convinced God has placed all of humanity in a valley. It's God's nature to bless. It is also God's nature to punish. How we relate to God depends entirely on which mountain we say amen to. We get to choose our mountain. And I tell you today on the authority of God's word that every person here is either living under the punishment of God or the pardon of God. Not just one day. Right where you sit, you are either under the blessing of God or you are under the curse of God. Right now. And if there has never been a time that you recognized you were a sinner under the judgment of God because of your sin, and you turned from your sin and placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone, you are under God's curse. If you ever have recognized you're a sinner, that Jesus loves you and he died for you, that he shed his blood for you on Mount Calvary, and you turn from your sin and your ability to save yourself and you put all your faith and trust in him, I can tell you today that even though you don't deserve it and even though you could never earn it, you are under the blessing of God. Amen. And you will never have to worry about your sins being counted against you. You will never have to worry about living a Christless life. And you will never have to worry about a Christless eternity. Because of Jesus, every person in this room can live on God's blessing side instead of God's cursing side. If you've never trusted in Christ, if you're on Mount Ebal, you can put yourself on Gerizim tonight just by trusting in Jesus. Don't think that God is indifferent to your choice, that it doesn't matter to him whether you're under God's curse or God's blessing. It matters a great deal to him. And that's why he sent Jesus to die for you. And he says to every person here who is not sure of their soul salvation, I set before you life and death and blessing and cursing. Choose life that you might live. And if you've never made that choice tonight, you can make it. You say, well, this has been kind of a strong gospel message for a Sunday evening crowd. I want you to know there's an application for all of God's people. And very quickly, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12, if you will. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Christian, the choice to trust in Christ is only the beginning. I believe God wants to extravagantly bless his people. Listen to what the psalmist said. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord God will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walketh uprightly. God is not some poor, miserly heavenly father who's sitting there in heaven trying to withhold blessings from his children. God wants to pour out on his children everything that is good for them. And I'm convinced that many of us could know much more of the blessings of God than we currently know. That was certainly true in the life of David. He had sinned with Bathsheba, and Nathan had confronted him. Look at what it says in 2 Samuel 12, verse 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. You might mark that phrase. I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. David had sinned, and Nathan came to him and said, what in the world are you doing, man? God took you from a shepherd fold, and he made you the king of Israel. There's been nobody God's blessed like you, David. And if you had just continued to walk uprightly and live for God, he would have blessed you with such and such things. Can you imagine that? That God had so many blessings to pour out on David, that even the blessings that he had already experienced, that's almost hard to imagine, isn't it? Folks, I believe that when we get to heaven, perhaps God will show us all that he could have done for us. All the blessings he could have poured out upon our lives. All the blessings he could have poured out upon your home. All the blessings he could have poured out on this church and on our country. If we had just walked uprightly with him. But heaven forbid we would get to heaven and find out that the majority of God's blessings were unenjoyed because we would not walk with him. The choice to trust in Christ is only the beginning. Believer, God wants to bless you beyond your wildest imagination, and not just for your sake, but for the sake of all people. And think what God could really do and how he could really bless if we would just surrender everything we have, lock, stock, and barrel to the Lord, get serious about walking with him, and truly live for him. I don't want to get to heaven and God shows me an auditorium expansion, a building in the parking lot, and thousands of people walking on the campus of Worth Baptist Church hearing the gospel. Say, I had all of these blessings in store for you, Tyler, if you just would have walked with me. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, God has more ground for you to take and more blessings to give you. Thank God we will never know God's curse if we're in Christ. But many of us will come far short of the blessing that he intends for us. And I don't know about you. I want all God has for me. I want all God has for my family. And I want all God has for this church. And God says, that's up to you. I set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose life that you might live. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this incredible passage. How awesome it would have been to stand in the valley of Shechem and to hear those blessings and cursings recited and to hear the people say, amen. What a beautiful picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that though we deserve God's curse, we can have your blessing. And what a remarkable reminder that you really do want to bless your people in ways that we can't possibly fathom or understand. But we have to obey you, and we have to live for you, and we have to walk with you. And would God, we as a church, would have all that you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, two very simple questions. Is there anybody here who would say, I'm not sure I've ever come to Christ. I'm worried I might be under God's judgment and not under God's blessing. Pastor, would you please pray for me? I'm not sure I've ever come to Christ. I don't want God's judgment. I want God's blessing. Because of Jesus, you can have it. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? How many of God's people would get real honest for a minute and say, I can't have all the blessing that God has for me because I am not walking uprightly. And I am not loving the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind. And tonight I want to get thoroughly right with God so he can bless my life and bless our church and bless our vacation Bible school and bless our mission trips and do all that he intends to do. And tonight I need to get right with God so I can have God's blessing. If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? And we're going to ask you to leave your seat here in just a moment and come and pray. And many of you would say, I haven't walked with God perfectly, but I could tell you this. He has blessed me extravagantly. And I'm so grateful. And I just want to come tonight and praise his holy name. I deserved his curse, but he gave me his blessing. He's such a good God. Father, bless in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.